And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Matt Time Radio.
Time Radio back on the air.
Yes, sir.
I'm Rich.
I'm Crail.
And we got that golden voice you just heard on our intro. We got Hector, our resident boxing guy here.
How's it going, everybody?
It's going good, Hector.
Love that voice too. I was like, who is that guy?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, now we finally got you back in studio.
Oh, it's great to be back, bro. Thank you for having me.
And today we are gonna talk boxing. So you guys wanted to hear it? But we're going to talk about it.
Yep. Last night, Staples Center here in downtown LA, Chad Dawson scores a second round TKO over Bernard the Executioner Hopkins. Not without any controversy, though. Not without any controversy. If you guys, everyone who saw the fight on pay per view, saw what appeared to be, how can I put this? I mean, some people are calling it a foul. Mm-hmm. I saw it quite differently. I think HBO gave it a different twist too when I saw it on the video. In round two of this fight, in a clinch, Chad Dawson appeared to throw Bernard Hopkins off his back, and Bernard Hopkins fell, injuring his left shoulder. Apparently, it's a separated AC tendon. I guess it's the tendon that connects his shoulder to his collarbone. And prompted you know, the second round stoppage of the fight. Now, why it was called a TKO, we still don't know. According to George Dodd from California State Athletic Commission, it was an accidental foul. And for some reason, accidental fouls, I mean, at least from my understanding, through the rules of the Association of Boxing Commissions, it's always been, if an accidental foul occurs before the fourth round, it's no contest.
Well, they called it something else. They called it a no decision.
Well, it's gone in the books as a TKO.
No. I'm just saying that those guys were talking. Actually, because I didn't see the fights, but I did see the link you posted on our Facebook page. So you can go to the Matt Time Radio Facebook page and check it out. But the guy was talking about it had been ruled a no decision. But I've never heard of a no decision.
What is that call?
Well, no decision or no contest, same thing. Basically, it's like the fight never took place.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so it doesn't count as scoring or anything like that?
No, they just, I mean,
except it's in your stats because it's the third number over.
Yeah, it's a no call. It's not a win. It's not a draw. It's just a fight that happened and didn't really happen. I mean,
you're right over there, dude, or what?
Well, yeah, you know what?
It's a beverage, huh?
Yeah, it's the beverage. It's the gas from the beverage, but I won't go into said beverage, but thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Oh. Yeah.
It was another bad blow. You know, it's bad enough we just had what happened at the Victor Ortiz Mayweather fight, now this. And really, it was. Other than that, it had been a solid night of boxing, especially with the co-feature on this night. It was a vacant WBC 135-pound championship fight between Jorge Linares and Antonio De Marco of Tijuana. Turned out to be one of these Fight of the Year candidates. Jorge Linares from Venezuela, who had been touted as the next big thing, training out of Wildcard Gym with Freddie Roach. First five rounds of this fight, he's dominating it. Midway through the fight, DeMarco starts busting him up, got a real bad gash over his nose, and little by little, DeMarco started turning it on in the 11th round, which I'll be posting up on the Matt Time Radio Facebook page. It's a round of the year, man.
It's a good round, huh?
It's a round of the year. It's a bloodbath, too.
How did the Hopkins fight begin? Was it a good fight up until that point, or was it a lopsided fight?
I think it was the second round.
It was the second round.
Really?
Really? let me. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? I did veer off a bit, but let me backtrack here. One thing that stood out about the Hopkins fight was that Hopkins has never been an exciting fighter to begin with. I mean, if you're looking for an exciting fight, Hopkins is not your fighter to watch. Hopkins is a very methodical fighter. And sure enough, this was looking like a typical Hopkins fight early. Lots of clinching. I mean, first round, all it was a flurry by Dawson. You could have given Dawson the first round. But what did stand out about it was every time Hopkins attempted a clinch, it was Dawson who was fighting out of it. He wasn't allowing, you know, Hopkins to get himself in position so the referee could reset him. He was fighting out of it, shoving him off.
But, I mean, but can you really get that from one round? Because I was like, there's even in MMA, I mean, just to put them together, there's always a couple of fill-out rounds. And in a 12-round boxing fight, I mean...
Yeah, it sounds like going to be more than that.
Yeah, you're going to need a couple of rounds to at least figure out what your distance is and... You know, Styles, I mean, you just said Hopkins is, if he's a methodical fighter, he's not finishing people, is he?
He's not. He hasn't knocked a guy out since 2002 when he stopped Murad Hakkar in 7 rounds.
So he's usually going to decision.
I mean, as he's gotten older, he's changed his fighting style.
And he's like, what, 40?
He's 46 years old.
I mean, he's like in pretty good shape at 46.
I mean, yeah, the guy's incredibly vain, too. He'll brag about his 27-inch waist to you. Yeah. No, I'm serious, brother. He will.
It was just funny watching that video clip because the guy's all like, you know, Bernard Hopkins says he's a gangster.
Chad Dawson was upset, too. He was visibly upset because Hopkins went out like that.
Well, you know, it's kind of like you win, but you don't get to celebrate your victory type deal, right?
No, because it is a tainted win. Now, I told you I had a press credential. Only thing was they had me sitting in the eighth row, and a buddy of mine, Gabe Montoya from MaxBoxing.com, he was down on the floor, and he was the one who told me, you know what, Hector, hey, I saw both shoulders. I didn't see no knot. There doesn't appear anything to be wrong with that shoulder.
Mm-hmm. So you think he might have just wanted out of that fight?
Look, from my vantage point being there, it looked to me like he wanted an out of that fight. He figured, I get an out from this. It's called a no contest. I don't know, rematch. We go back to the drawing board.
Well, I know Hopkins is the name in this fight, but who was the favorite going in?
The favorite in this fight, slight favorite, was Chad Dawson. The thing about Hopkins is odds are always against him because of his age. Mm-hmm. But the guy, I mean, he's defied logic at least since 2001.
How much is he making that fight?
He only made $1 million for this fight.
Only.
Yeah, I know. He made $1 million for this fight, and Chad Dawson pulled in $800,000 for this fight.
When was his last fight, though?
Bernard Hopkins' last
fight? Either one of them. I'm just curious on their paydays, right? Because he's got like $1 million, you know, almost $2 million total between the two guys.
Last Hopkins fight was he fought Jean Pascal when he regained the world the lineal light heavyweight championship of the world. And
when was that, though?
That was...
like a year ago?
Less than a year ago. I'd say within the last 10 months of... And he did pull in more money with that fight, being in Montreal in Pascal's hometown. Because I'll say one thing, man. Canadians show up to fights.
Well, yeah. I think you even see that with the UFC now, where they're talking about the Canada as a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's fight fans in Canada.
Well, they're used to it from hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They're not really into sports the way they are here in the U.S., where, you know, we're following American football and basketball and baseball and stuff. They seem to be on a different wave.
That's only for hosers, eh?
a little soccer on that ice field, that's real good.
And just, you know, kind of gathering what you guys were talking about too about Hopkins, it almost seems like you equated to someone, God, you haven't heard this name in a long time, but, you know, someone that defended their title almost the same way as Tim Sylvia. Exactly.
The maniac.
Exactly. Someone that just really fought very safe, and he just, you know, he squeaked by and stuff and wasn't very exciting. And
that clip, if you go to our page and check it out, where did you get the clip from?
Facebook Boxing Community. There's a website, it's called Facebook Boxing Community. A lot of media guys are on it. They always post videos that we find.
I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, it was great. You probably know, but whoever the guy was interviewing people in the ring was really good.
Max Kellerman was doing the post-fight interviews in there with both Hopkins and with Chad Dawson.
He did a real good job getting both those guys' perspective and the commissioners, too, that you seem to love.
I mean, yeah, well, the thing I told you about my beef with the California State Athletic Commission.
Yeah.
With George Dodd, here's a guy who basically left it up for discussion as to what was going to happen, whether this... you know, decision is going to change or not. And I think in these upcoming weeks, what should happen is that this fight should be called a no contest because of the way this ended.
Yeah.
You know.
So you think that they'll automatically get a rematch? You think they'll do that?
Well, that's the odd part, man, because, see, Chad Dawson's promoted by Gary Shaw. And the reason this fight took place was because it was a stipulation when John Pascal and Bernard Hopkins had their last fight.
Uh-huh.
The stipulation was the winner had to fight Chad Dawson. Now, I don't know if there is a rematch stipulation in this contract.
That's funny you say that, because maybe there was something about a no contest in that contract too, you know?
You know what? It could be.
Right?
Could be. I mean, in the coming weeks, we'll know.
Is it going to take them that long?
Well, we got to hear what the commission says. It has to be addressed this week. I know the Association of Boxing Commissions, they're going to get on the California State Athletic Commission for this.
Why is that? Just,
well, I mean, California is one of the more, California and Nevada, the two most respected commissions.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to want to see them address this, because nobody was satisfied with what happened last night. I mean, even the fighters. I mean, Chad Dawson isn't satisfied with winning this way.
Yeah.
And Bernard Hopkins definitely isn't satisfied with losing this way.
Yeah, I know. We'll take a break, but I know when we come back, we were talking about the commissioner, how you said he's got no boxing experience.
Well, we could talk about George Dodd and his.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So we'll move on to that, and we're going to be back real quick in a minute with some more Mat Time Radio.
A lighter sound provided by Jammin' James on a flex. Guess what's coming next? A dope rhyme by the DOOTX on the mic to engage in a row. Pump the rhymes down, we're like a connected flow just for you and your crew, so you can taste the rhythm from this Latin active race. As it takes control of your body and soul, feel the physical change and you'll be so. You can't stop what starts to take place. Your body starts to groove to the Diddy Dope bass. That's what happens, as you can see. Now let the crew explain the Latin activity.
A Latin female, dope to get with this. Hijack your track with a lyrical concept. A brown queen knows to break it down in one step. So legit, the microphone just passed it. Right to me, the one is chosen to grasp it. Just drop the mic that you were holding. Cause with the lighter shade of brown, I saw rolling Latina. Taking over the microphone and rocking the face. With a little bit of soul and treble and bass. As I rock your partner, stop and make you dance. I have a question. Are you still in a trance? En inglés, en español, como quieran el ritmo. Muevan sus pies y bailen al ritmo. Hacemos bailar, es mi misión. Y Latin active.
I get Latin active when I grab a microphone. Brownies on my tip, begging me to come home. I know they want more, screaming for an encore. Fellas getting jealous, so they try to ignore. The O to the D to the M-I-M. We rock the lyrics, and before you know it, we got you dancing to our song with a lot of shade of rock. Well, hey, it's on. Once again, my friend, you gotta have the soul. Get on the dance floor, lose control. When I lose control, I get sort of active. My mind starts banging the form of a Latin. Yo tengo derecho de ser una estrella. Porque mi rima son maribas. I'm a window Latino. Mi lenguaje más fino. Porque yo soy Latino.
Oh, he's almost freestyling.
Almost got caught there karaoke in the studio.
Dude, you had a nice freestyle going there, bro. You really did.
Yeah, I know. It sounded real good. It always sounds better when you sing over the original lyrics.
Or in the shower, huh?
Yeah, because then if you mess up, you still sound good.
Yeah, so where were we? We were actually with the commission, and one of the commissioners not having much experience, huh?
Well, Hector and I were talking about the boxing commissioner.
Okay, the head of the boxing commission, his name is George Dodd. And last night during HBO's interview, he was interviewed. Now, he was interviewed by Max Kellerman, and basically he didn't allow referee Pat Russell to talk about why they reached the decision that they had reached.
And this, just so people know, this was dirt, like right after the fight. So the guy doing the interview was interviewing. I mean, he interviewed, I think he interviewed the commissioner first, and then he interviewed both boxers, right?
Right. Commissioner George, the head of the State Athletic Commission, George Dodd, he didn't allow referee Pat Russell, who really, I mean, Pat Russell is one of the best referees the state has. He didn't allow Pat Russell to make any comment on whether, to make any comment on why he took the decision he did. Now, George Dodd is an interesting story. He was just named head of the commission no more than a year ago. And when he was named, it came under some controversy because there was other people who had more credentials that should have been placed in there. And in an interview with, I believe it's Eric Raskin from Ring Magazine, he went on the record saying that you didn't have to know about boxing to be the head of this commission. Now, considering what happened last night, it was kind of odd seeing his behavior, not letting referee Pat Russell talk about it, and not giving an honest answer as to why this second round knockout was reached, why the decision to call this fight a knockout was reached.
But see, I look at it from a different perspective. I think that was a good move on his part because, one, it shows that he's in control of what's going on, and that, you know, he said, well, I got to talk to the referee first before we make a decision. Which is kind of cool because you don't want a ref. You know, sometimes he might be a good ref, but he's not a good talker, right? So now you got this guy up there on a mic who doesn't know how to explain himself, and now people are going to be like, how does the commission hire this guy to be a ref?
Here's the flip side to that. We'll go back a few years ago to the third fight between Israel Vasquez and Rafael Marquez at Home Depot Center. That fight was a close fight from beginning to end. Again, referee Pat Russell was the referee in this fight. And in the last round of this fight, Israel Vasquez knocks Rafael Marquez into a corner. When he knocks him over there, Marquez is going down, losing his balance. He grabs himself from the top rope and pulls himself back up. Referee Pat Russell came in, stopped it, called it a knockdown. Turns out that knockdown ended up being the difference that gave the fight to Vasquez over Marquez. And afterwards, sure enough, they went right up to Pat Russell and they asked him, you know, hey, why'd you reach this decision? So, I mean, he has no problem talking or explaining his actions.
But that was 12 rounds in, right?
Right.
Was that a legit? I mean, obviously, if the guy is losing his belt, because I don't know
that was. I mean, he made the right call. No one's ever questioned him.
So at any time, if a boxer holds the ropes,
anytime if you're knocked off balance, if a guy gets knocked and he's going down, and he grabs himself from the ropes to prevent himself from falling, it's a knockdown.
It is.
It's a knockdown. The referee can call a knockdown.
He should have just thrown himself against the ropes
and bounced back lucha libre style.
That's it, man. A little flying. Can you do a Superman punch in boxing?
Stop it. No, you can't. You can't do the leaping punch in boxing.
Why not?
Nope.
You can't do a Superman punch in boxing. What did you call it? A lead man punch?
No. You can't jump in and lead with a punch like that.
Oh,
no.
You can.
Well, it just wouldn't work. They'd see it coming from a mile away.
Well, I see them kind of lead in like that with the jab when they shoot it from far away.
Although it's interesting that we're talking about Hopkins. Watch Hopkins. One of his favorite punches is a lead right, and the way he leads in with it, he'll lead in with his head. Boom, then he'll shoot it up the middle.
Well, that's funny you say that because it almost looked like he shot that punch. I mean, that might have been an overhook right, I think, that he missed.
No, that's what he was doing in the first round. He leads with his head, he throws the right hand, and then he'll get into a clinch with his fighter.
So he'll just slip, and then he'll throw the punch?
Well, it almost seemed like he was a lot, even he said he's a lot bigger than the other guy, Hopkins was, right?
Well, Hopkins moved up. I mean, he's gradually moved up from middleweight all the way up to that. I mean, it's in these last 10 years that he's gone from 160 to 175. But Chad Dawson's naturally bigger guy, natural light heavyweight. But, I mean, when you see it, sure enough, it was Hopkins leading in with that right, and he ended up on top of Chad Dawson's back, literally on his back.
Yeah.
When Chad Dawson dropped the shoulder and shoved him to get him off him, that's when...
I don't know. He didn't even look like he hit that hard, but you never know.
No, I didn't think. Look, I personally, I thought Hopkins was trying to cop his way out.
Yeah,
that's my honest opinion. I thought he was looking for a way out.
I bet you, when it comes out, there's going to be something in his contract about a no contest.
You know what? It's going to be interesting to see because I mean, this is where you have to have a strong negotiator when you go negotiate a fight like this. Did you put in a rematch clause? If it's a no contest, does Chad Dawson have the option of going to fight someone else? Going to fight, you know, because the one fight Dawson has stated that he wants a rematch with Canada's Jean Pascal, the only guy to beat him.
Yeah. So back on this commissioner guy.
George Dodd?
Yeah, so you think that George Dodd, not having any boxing experience,
is the wrong guy there? Yeah.
So how does a guy get like that, even, you know, get that type of position?
Well, because, I mean, it's a commission. I mean, it's government. The governor can appoint whoever he wants right there.
The governor of...
Governor of the state of California. He could appoint anyone he wants as the head.
I don't know that.
The only guys in the state athletic commission who are actually actual employees are the inspectors.
Okay, what do they do?
They make sure that, what do you call it, guys come in at weight. They check.
Sign the wrappings and
exactly.
The gloves.
Exactly. Make sure everyone gets paid. They are the only actual employees of the state. Referees, judges, and like the head of the commission, they have licenses, but they are not employees.
Yeah, that's one of the things I even noticed, that even more with like boxing events and things like that, it seems like everybody has to have some type of like license and stuff. Even myself, like I cornered a Muay Thai fighter and I had to get a license.
You know what a license is? Essentially the same thing as a permit. And it's just a way to somebody make money off you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everybody involved had to go through that process, you know, and get it.
If you want to get involved in boxing, yes, you have to have I have a cornerman's license. In Las Vegas, want to hear something messed up? I was going over there to announce a fight. They actually taxed me. I needed a ring announcer's license, which I thought was a joke.
Wow.
Yeah. Hating on Las Vegas, right? Nevada State Athletic Commission.
But how much was that, though?
$100.
That's crazy.
Nevada, I want my money back, damn it.
They only paid you like $60.
Come on. Just kidding.
Well, even look at what we were talking about last week, IBJJF. You know, they're going to have, you know, cards for competitors. It's almost the same thing where they're starting at the black belts, and then next thing you know, everybody's going to have like some type of permit to even compete.
Yeah.
You know?
That's interesting. See, with boxing, it's rough, though, because it's... I mean, you can get one in one state, but unless you're like in California, Nevada, like a boxer, boom, your license is good in both states.
It is, okay.
And you're meant. Excuse me. But
what happened?
Shut up. You go to like New Mexico, and if you're like one of these tribal boxing commissions, no, dude, they will ream you for money.
If you go to New Mexico and you're a tribal boxing.
Yes.
Like if you go like to the Indian reservation.
The Pueblo Isleta casino, dude.
Just pay them in Buffalo, dude.
Nah, man. They took American, bro.
Pay them in blankets and smallpox.
I did. I tried, dude.
Here's a pie and a blanket. Like,
here's some otter pelts, guys. Yeah. I mean, no.
This is real leather hide. That's crazy, man. So what? But if the commissioner doesn't have any boxing experience, how does that affect the boxing though? He's not making any. He's not a ref, right? He can't be a judge or a ref.
No,
those are really the guys you want with the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, if it was up to me, I'd like Pat Russell, the referee of this fight. I wish he was the head of the commission.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, there'd be like some type of panel, a committee that was going to vote. You know, or, you know, somebody that was going to put the right person in, but I guess something like that slipped through.
Yeah, that's...
Do you think the referee made a mistake on that fight, in that Hopkins fight?
Well, first thing I want to know is, I'd like to know at least who exactly... was it the referee or the doctor who made the decision to rule the fight a knockout?
Or maybe, like you said, maybe no one and the announcer just said it. That'd be crazy, right?
Well, yeah, that announcer, it would be his hide right now, but...
Well, I mean, you don't know.
I mean, it's not up to him.
Because he got mics on that...
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's whoever the person in charge, whoever the commissioner representative in charge that day, they give, you know, everything to the announcer. Look, this is the decision you're going to read. Now, who made the final decision? I don't know if it was a ref, if it was a doctor.
That would be crazy if it was the announcer.
Do you think that's why he said, you know what, let's not speak of this until we have everybody involved, you know, really look at it and go back and we can really come to a definitive answer why this, you know, came about?
I believe so. That and just the fact that I don't think he knew how to address the question.
Well, I think that he's worried about, I mean, okay, so you have this controversy in this fight, right? And then you just had one at the other fight.
That was in Nevada.
But still, I mean, you just California, Nevada, almost the same thing, right?
Really,
really close. And I think you're starting to worry. You already know that this whole MMA is taking over, so boxing's worried. I don't know. I think he's just trying to protect the image before anything gets out that this shouldn't be out there. You know, maybe he comes back and be like, hey, listen, you know, so-and-so never said that, or...
Well, I mean, like we said before, boxing's never going to die. There's going to be... There's always going to be fans.
Yeah, there's diehard, you know, boxing fans, too.
There is, and, you know, hopefully MMA can reach, you know, can reach that status. You know, who knows, probably not in our lifetime, but...
I like boxing. Like, I like watching the little guys because they're fast and they come out and bang, you know. But I also like seeing the guys that are hungry, that don't have a name, because, I mean, that's like in any sport, right? They go out there and...
Don't get me wrong. I just had a club fight last month, and that's one thing I love more than anything. Going to just a good club fight. There's never a bad seat in the house. Watching a bunch of four-rounders go at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me that. Is that the one you were doing the announcing at?
No. That's September 29th. That's when I... had a fighter fight over there at Hollywood Park Casino. And we lost a tough four-round decision, but, you know, we'll be back. And actually, November 26th, he's getting another fight out there. So
yeah, what'd you call it? The boxing? What, you just called it something. You said you just went somewhere to watch all these fights.
Hollywood Park
Casino?
No, a club fight.
Club fight, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we call it a club fight. The small shows, those are club fights.
Yeah, well, maybe when we come back, you can explain what a club fight is.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get down to the roots and where these guys come up from and everything before they start making these big pities.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute. More Matt Time Radio.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row Studio.
Ooh, I'm feeling full from that chop suey.
Yes, sir.
Chop suey.
Chop suey.
Hey, man, if you guys have any questions, then call the show, right?
Yeah, we forgot about that, yeah.
1-800-893-9562.
Call us up. You got boxing questions. You got MMA questions.
You got questions for Hector.
Huh.
It's all mad if you start talking about boxing all bad.
Aw, come on, dude.
You start jabbing me.
Yeah, and then actually talking about, you know, boxing and kind of how it, you know, intertwines, how people are just cross training and stuff. Just reading that James Berto, actually, brother of Andre Berto, is going to be back in the ring after being off for 18 months.
You know that guy, Hector?
Well, I do know the Berto family. I know Duizel Berto, their dad, Andre Berto, the former world welterweight champion, Olympic representative. He fought for Jamaica. James, I only got to see one of his fights, but fill me in, Rich. I mean, why was he out for 18 months?
I guess he was off from an injury, but it's actually not really a big show he's going to be doing. He's going to be doing Warrior One MMA. Not really, you know, top billing. But, yeah, he was. It looks like he was off for a while and coming back. But, I mean, it just shows that a lot of these guys have, you know, they're coming from boxing, and I guess they're trying to, you know, find other ways to stay in the sport and stuff. It seems.
Well, it goes back to what you were asking me earlier, like with boxing and the club show. It seems to me like Berto is obviously fighting on a smaller show, smaller card, but he's trying to get back into the mix and build himself back up to, you know, at least UFC level shows, right?
What do these guys make at a low show like that? A couple hundred bucks?
Well, yeah, a lot of times what guys will do, they'll, like, their manager will pay a promoter to put their fighter on the card.
Okay.
And what they'll do, they'll pay, but they'll ask for that amount of money in tickets. You know, and then right. They'll go ahead and sell tickets and make their money that way.
Right. Because okay. a lot of the guys that we know that fight also sell tickets. I mean, they get paid, but they also sell tickets, which...
Yeah, that seems to be a thing.
You want to fill the seats, right?
Well, yeah, because you're helping two guys. One, you're helping yourself because if you could sell tickets, that means... One, you could put asses in seats.
Right.
And your marketability shoots up.
Right.
And two, from a promoter, if it's like, all right, like if this guy asked me for $1,800 in tickets, wait a minute, you could bring all those people in?
What if you had a guy that was like 0-10 but can sell like 2,000 tickets?
Interesting story. Let's go back in time. Back in 2003, I used to work with a guy named Sal Casillas, who now runs our boxing gym out in Southgate. This guy had a 5-18 record.
Oh,
5-18.
We talked about this cat, right?
5-18 record, but the guy would guarantee to sell you 300 tickets anytime he fought. 300 tickets, right? He just asked you, bro, give me 300 tickets. I don't, just 300 of your cheap seats, I will sell them. And you're thinking to yourself, well, let's see, 300, do the math, times 25. Wait a minute, you could sell this amount? Yep. That's, what is that?
I believe that even talking about like the old King of the Cage days, the guys were, you know, talking about that recently too, where they would have to sell tickets and get, you know, people to fill seats. And it's true. Either you're exciting or you fill seats, you know, it's really going to come down to, you know, to money.
Now, see, thank you, Chris, for doing the math. Like in case of Casillas, what he would do.
Who?
It was Sal Casillas, what he would do. Dude, look him up on BoxRec. Sal Casillas, 5-18. But like what he would do, he'd sell $7,500 in tickets. Now, think about it. Guy's got a 5-18 record. He could do that money. And he keep $5,000 for himself.
Well, then you got to get all the other money you're going to get from like beer.
That's
whatever,
the promoter takes that money. I mean, for
parking.
Exactly. A promoter looks at that and says, "Wait a minute, you can bring this much. That's this how much money you could generate if you could bring those people in here to consume, you know, snacks, concessions, beer, whatever. Cool, I could pay you like that."
Yeah, you were telling me that he had some really tough fights, though. Like,
well, see, when you looked at his 5-18 record, when you looked deep. When you look, hell, you could go on BoxRec and look at his record, and you'll see that like 13 of his losses came against guys who had either won or had fought for a world title. And when you looked at him, he was never knocked out. Every time you'd see split decision, majority decision. So you're looking at it, you're going, hey, wait a minute, one of these judges saw you win.
Yeah.
So you must be doing something right.
Yeah, well, there's another person too, kind of, I don't want to put anyone on blast, but there's someone, you know, local MMA guy too. It's kind of the same deal.
Yeah, well, that's probably in MMA, boxing, and everything. You're always going to find
your journeyman,
an odd guy like that.
You're going to find like a gatekeeper, I guess you can kind of, they call him, or or someone that's just really, really good at what they do as far as promotion and getting people excited about fights and stuff, you know?
I'll say this about them. And, you know, I know that, like, a lot of people ask, oh, why are these guys fighting? These guys are absolutely vital to any combat sport, be it MMA, be it boxing. You need your journeyman fighters, guys who a young fighter gets to develop on.
Hey, Clay Guida.
Yeah, well, and I think it takes it's pretty rare when you find a guy that's knows how to promote himself and is really good. And those guys always seem to blow up, you know, big time, obviously, because they can do both sides of the...
Yeah, exactly. They're either doing one thing. They're either hyping everybody up or they're in the gym not saying much and they're just training and getting better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys want to talk about a guy who could promote himself like nobody else, one of my favorite fighters to watch back in the day, Jorge Maromero Páez.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, honestly, look, the last 10 years of that guy's career... The guy wasn't championship level, but people wanted to see him just to see what kind of crazy outfit he was going to wear into the ring. I mean, the guy would walk into the ring in a wedding dress sometimes.
I thought it was more because, like, from what I remember from him, he seemed to appeal, obviously, boxing, inner city kind of sport, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he seemed to be a guy who came from a hardworking family in a circus.
Yeah,
he could relate to that struggle. You know, when you're coming up, you're like, here's a dude that, like, probably his family struggles. He's not rich by no means, but, you know, they're just working hard in the circus. And
the guy ended up buying the circus for his grandparents. He lives out in Bakersfield now.
He does?
Yeah, he's in Bakersfield. His
face is probably all meatloaf.
Right, but you know what? He's still one of the funniest guys you could meet. And shout out to Jorge, if you're out here. You know, but he's a pride of Chicali. I mean.
Well, you know, another thing that happens to old boxers is funny. And actually, I have a really good friend that I met in my years in the car business. His name was Adrian Arriola.
Yeah, that's Chris Arriola's dad, right?
Yeah, from Camino Real Chevrolet.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's a very good friend of mine and one of the nicest people I've ever met. And even, you know, at a point, I'm not sure if he was still there. He had Paul Gonzalez working there on the payroll.
Yeah, Paul Gonzalez is still there.
Yeah, Olympic gold medalist, you know, there, you know, selling Chevys, you know.
Yeah.
Just thinking about, you know, people and stuff that were in the sport. And Adrian, you look at his nose, he's like, wow, you can kind of always tell a boxer, you know?
Yeah, Adrian Arriola, he's the father of current heavyweight contender Chris Arriola from Riverside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that nose, the boxer's nose, though.
Well, yeah. Everyone seems to have that, except Joe Calzaghe, dude. That guy, you look at him, you swear that guy was a soccer player. I mean, his nose is perfectly straight.
I don't know. Mine's pretty straight.
Yeah, but you never box,
yeah, right? Box, bro.
So. Only in the street.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, there's a pretty big difference when you go like that many rounds and stuff. And
well, I mean, I always tell people, like, especially now with MMA being so, well, quote unquote, trendy, but everybody wants to be a fighter, right? And I say the only way to be a fighter and train for a fight is to be in a fight. You know, so I mean, the longevity of your face taking punishment, especially boxing, because it's either, you know, it's all the waist and above.
Right. I mean, and
I think Roy Jones Jr. is the only guy I've ever seen just punch someone's arm where he couldn't use it. Do you remember that fight?
Oh, yeah. I've seen
it. I think he punched the guy's arm so many times, so it made him drop his arm, you know? But
yeah, he just punched him in the delt. And
yeah,
he just
punching his arm.
I think it was against Glenn Kelly, yeah. Yeah, Glenn Kelly, that's
what it was.
But
you know what I mean? That's like the only time I've ever seen. But other than that, it's your face or your body, and, you know, that's only going to take so much beating too.
Yeah, some guys, you see them, you know, their faces are all just oatmeal lumpy, dude. And yeah, you're like,
yeah. Well, I have a friend that, you know, he fights Muay Thai, and, you know, he's just still barely getting his sanctioned fights, and, you know, he's already got a cracked orbital.
Yeah, see, that's dangerous. That's when you've got to, like, question the commission. Nothing against the guy, like, you know, a guy making a living, but I mean, when you know that you're getting little in return, you're just taking a beating, like with a broken orbital. That's when,
well, broken orbital with headgear on.
See, that's crazy. But in Muay Thai, it's, I mean, with the elbows and you know the leg kicks and everything, it's bound to happen.
Well, do you not get that a lot in boxing?
Broken orbitals? Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about one of the, watch Melder Taylor, Julio Cesar Chavez, round 9 of that fight. Chavez hits him with a straight right hand, breaks his orbital. He hear when it breaks, dude.
Really?
That's crazy. Dude. It was like 40 seconds left in the 9th round when it happens, dude.
So what happened?
Oh, well, what happened?
That's a fight stopper right there.
Well, I don't know, because sometimes you're so dumped up on adrenaline, you know?
Well, Melder Taylor was winning every round of that fight. That's till crazy. Till round 12 when Chavez knocked him out. I'll give you the whole. Here's the list of injuries he took. Broken orbital bone.
From one fight.
Against Julio Cesar Chavez. Uh-huh. And keep in mind, Chavez was losing the fight when he knocked him out. Mm-hmm. Broken orbital bone, bruised kidneys. The guy was urinating pure blood.
Oh.
All right. He needed 3 plates put into his orbital socket.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And a gash inside his lip that required 13 stitches. I mean, poor guy drank about drank 2 pints of his own blood during the fight.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
That's a beating.
Yeah.
But that just tells you he must have been getting hit all 12 rounds before that happened, right? I mean.
It was the name of the fight was Thunder Meets Lightning, and it lived up to the billing, dude, because really? That's what it was. He'd be landing 3 shots. Chavez would be like, wham, wham. Chavez was taking something away from him, even though he was losing the fight.
Yeah. So how's Chavez's kid? Didn't he fight?
He's good.
He's good, man. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, you know, Junior's a good kid, man. He's at Freddie Roach's gym at Wildcard. You know, they've brought him along slowly. Kid's got a world title. I mean, he puts his work in, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, we're going to be back, and we're going to be back again. And also, we want your calls, 1-800-893-9562. Call us up. Hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter at Matt Time Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be back in a minute.
Scrunchied up in a ponytail. Woo. Gold hoop earrings with her name on them. I had the Coliseum fronts with the fangs on them.
What?
Ooh, thinnest waist with the fat ass. Dang. Had me all happy to go to math class. Yeah, I had to go for it, baby. Sent the letter over, circle yes, no, or maybe.
Remember that?
And she looked back with a cool blush, showing me the results of a nice toothbrush. Yeah, we rode home on the same school bus. Confident, cause listen, I'm crushing these new Pumas.
Woo.
Yeah, and she told me she from the south side. Told her I'm from Cooper, she looked at me with her mouth wide. Like, I got fam out there. I gave her the number, now you got a fan out there. Man, I really hope this girl bumping my Smith & Wesson. Knock on my room door, ma, give me a second.
Hold up.
Threw on a t-shirt, slid on my old eyes. Open the door, she passed me the phone. Oh my. So I took me a deep breath, yo. Fingers crossed, I answered the phone. Hello. Voice so official. Hey, Joelle, what you getting into? I said, I'm getting dressed to come get you. She laughed. I said, it's Saturday, a nice flick. She agreed. Meet me at the Commodore at like 6.
Cool.
Throw on my Jabos, dusted off the bowl. Sipped the heli Hansen out the dough, good to go. She's standing there, stretch pants, 54-11. Yelling, hurry up, they want me in the crib before 11.
Aight.
Did the movie thing, a little bite to eat.
What
the whole night was sweet.
What else?
Ended it with a kiss, something light on the cheek.
Call me, call me.
This is a throwback right here.
Call me,
Joel Ortiz.
I said I remember.
Call me, used to call me.
Call me,
call me.
Call me.
You know what I'm talking about. Check it out. So it's a long morning and dates now. Yep. She be in the crib all late now. We be kicking it, then we lay down. Turn the lights off and press play on the H-Town.
Ooh,
we being fresh like Easter. I made her vibrate like my beeper. My mama said she a keeper. I can see myself trying Mrs. Ortiz. Then I bumped into Lisa telling me how she missed me. We up in this party, I'm feeling a little tipsy. She try and kiss me all in my face. One thing led to another, we all in the staircase. She told Tasha, who told Chris. My phone rang the next day, how could you diss me? You said you love me and we'll always be together. Do me a favor, Joel. What? Don't you ever, 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 ever.
Call me.
Over that.
Call me, call me,
girl.
Call me.
Rider Bill the Grill Cooper, and you're listening to Matt Town Radio on skidrow.la.
The Grill.
Oh, Bill the Grill.
Yes, and sir.
Actually, even really quick, you know, want to say what's up to our boy Jay Santoyo, another Moyer Brand fighter. He just took first place at the, it was at the U.S. Open of Jiu-Jitsu up there in San Jose.
That's it.
Congratulations, Jay.
Just call him ugly. That's what we call him.
Yeah, just call him ugly.
Come on, dude. So we call him, dude.
That's his tournament, though. He goes up there every year, and he does really, really well. You know, the whole team, the home team does really well, but, you know, Jay really works hard on that one.
Yeah. Hey, so, like, during the song, we were talking about rapping.
Hand rapping.
Yeah, well, what? Just because I'm a rapper? Yeah, hand rapping.
Hey, he's a straight G.
We're not against rap. We're not against rappers.
That's a good song. What song is that?
That's Bone Thugs, isn't it?
No.
We are against those thugs.
What song is that?
I forgot. It just popped into
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to be like, what is that song? Hey, we're talking about hand rapping.
Anyway, yeah, we're talking about hand rapping.
Yeah, and the reason I was asking, because last time we had a boxer here, we were asking
Daryl?
Yeah. Oh, Daryl, that's right.
Daryl Monique, yeah.
We're asking if the rapping was for protection of your knuckles or so your metacarpals don't break.
Well, in more than anything, the hand wrap is to protect your hand in general, but you're looking at three areas. You're looking at your knuckles, your metacarpals, and your wrist. If you're familiar with the hand, I mean, your wrist, it's all cartilage. There's no bone there. So you need as much support as possible there.
Well, now that we have you here, actually, I wanted to ask you too, what are the, you know, because we were talking about it, where a lot of, it seems the lighter fighters are breaking their hands in the middle of fights. Is it a common occurrence in boxing as well?
Well, again, man, hands aren't made to punch, dude. They're not made to punch. You hit a guy on the top of the head, you could break your hand. If you've had previous injuries too, you could hurt your hand again.
If you get on the mat and roll it a while, he'll break your wrist.
Oh, yeah.
That's a side note, dude.
Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, but I mean, it happens. Yeah. Sometimes guys don't let an injury heal.
So then they tape you. So are you taping past the wrist when they do that?
You're taping right, I'd say, yeah, just past the wrist. I'd say maybe 3 inches below the wrist.
Okay.
That's probably as far as you're going. And I mean, first it's all gauze. You get a small layer of tape first on your bare hand. Mm-hmm. Then you start going with the gauze. Usually build a knuckle pad.
Mm-hmm.
Then after you're done wrapping with the gauze, you go at it with the tape.
Okay, because I know that's what you usually see is the gauze on the knuckles. But
right, you're not allowed to put tape directly on the knuckles. The closest you can bring the tape to the knuckles is an inch below the knuckles.
Okay,
you could put tape in between the knuckles, but no tape directly on them. So you could put tape in between, but nothing directly on them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And how tedious it is. The commission is there. And, you know, they have a process and a procedure for wrapping hands, and well, they watch you through.
It's not a science. And there, you'll never find two, what do you call it, wrappers that wrap the exact same way. I know three different ways to wrap a hand.
But you can put tape between the knuckles then.
In between the
right,
knuckles,
that'll hold that gauze.
Yeah, you cut them in strips, and then
the commission is looking for is that you don't slip anything into your knuckle pad, that you're not putting, Yeah,
okay, kickboxer.
Exactly. That you're not taping above the knuckles.
No white powder from blood sport.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it seems like even at certain points during the wrapping, the commission will sign off on it, and then they kind of continue
on. Yeah, when you're done actually wrapping the hand and taping it, what the commission does, they come up and a commission inspector will sign off his name on your wraps, basically like that. Boom, his hand's been wrapped, and you can't doctor it from that point on.
You ever see anybody get caught doing anything or know of anything that happened recently?
Know of anything? I mean, there was the Antonio Margarito fight, but that, I think, was blown out of proportion. Was there anything in the knuckle pad? No, well, basically, he got caught using an old knuckle pad from the gym. But, I mean, he didn't fight with it. They made him rewrap his hand.
Well, even those commissioners, once you're wrapped and everything, they will follow you. You can't go to the restroom by yourself.
Right, you can't go nowhere. You can't go anywhere without one of these commission guys.
Well, you see that in every sport. I mean, you see the guy with the red coat.
That's the one. Yeah, they're like a chaperone.
Yeah.
and want to make sure
those guys are paid, or
those guys are paid employees of the state.
They are, okay.
Yeah, they're the ones with the license and the credentials, and those are the people that, you know, yeah, you got to really consult with them on any movement that you make, you know, in the locker room and in that area.
Yeah, so those guys are probably, it's probably good if those guys got some experience, because then they know what's going on.
Yeah, you know what, with California, at least some of the, most of the inspectors I do know, I've known for a long time. And, I mean, they're pretty competent in what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are supposed to be there watching like a hawk. Some of them that are more experienced, or they kind of see fighters again, they trust, you know, the trainers to do what they're doing a little bit. They're not going to watch you as much.
A lot of times, I mean, it's usually the big deal when you're wrapping a guy. It's no more than, look, watch me. I'm going to make a hand pad. Here, check it. Mm-hmm. Can I use it? Boom, let's go.
Yeah, cause I've seen a couple of guys, you know, different people that they get wrapped on the same day and, you know, looking at their commissioner, and some are like really, you know, tedious about watching the process, and other ones are like, you know, they really don't.
Yeah. You know. So they make that wrist pretty stiff when they
wrap
it?
They do.
They have to, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it all depends too, because imagine like, say if a fighter's had a previous injury,
mm-hmm.
The guy wrapping your hand might pay more attention to a certain area to protect it.
Okay.
I mean,
it looks like we got a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hector's out. What was that? Hello,
hey,
hello.
What's up, guys? This is Jesse from Moya Brand. I just want to tell you guys a great show, man. I really enjoy watching you guys, listening to you guys.
Jesse.
Good looking out, man.
What's going on in the lab, man? How's the company going?
Oh, everything's going good, man. We had some guys compete at the U.S. Open. Big John Santoyo brought home the gold.
Yeah, man.
We had Michael Yuyu from Miguel Ayuyu from BJJ Revolution team, and his buddy Mike Carbolito, they placed first. JT, another guy, second. We had a good turnout. Rene Lopez from Drysdale, who's one of our guys, also placed first. So we had about 6-7 guys competing out there. They all placed, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good. No, I did see that video that you posted, you know, premiering your new gi for those guys. You know, to compete in.
Oh, yeah. We send them a package, a care package of the new black Descartes gi, which was, we ended up selling it out in about 2 weeks.
Damn, I know. I saw it was a nice looking gi, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, so Richard was still waiting for his care package.
So that way, you know, we could share it with a lot of, you know, as many folks as possible. So we should be back in stock, you know, by looking at around December sometime. And,
hey.
Did you guys get to take a look at that the sneak preview of the new gi that we're going to be having soon?
If that was the one you were mentioning, yeah, the one that with the care package, I did see that video. That was good stuff.
Yeah, so that was something we weren't even going to show it, but we got a little excited. You know, we're really happy with the samples, the design. So we decided, you know what, we're going to come out with it sooner than later.
Hey, nice. Isn't one of you guys fighter too, Sonny? Doesn't he have a fight coming up too?
Yeah, actually, Sonny is fighting October 28th at Las Vegas MMA at the Hilton in Vegas. So if anybody's in town, or you know, stop by, check out Sonny and grab some tickets. You know, that's part of the way that these guys earn their purses, by you know, selling tickets also.
Yeah, we just talked about that today.
And
too.
And actually, Sonny might walk out with the Hawaiian gi that we're going to be debuting soon.
Ooh. Ooh, nice.
Nice.
So it'll be like a good look for everybody to, you know, be able to check it out and stuff.
Sweet, man. Well, hey, thanks for calling the show.
So how's everything going over there?
Going good, man. We were just talking. We got my buddy Hector's in studio. We're just talking about some boxing stuff.
Yeah, changing gears a little bit. You know, want to, you know, just touch on some different things and stuff. And it seems like, you know, with the weekend's fights and stuff, boxing is our thing today.
Yeah, your timing was good, too, because we played two Moya Brand commercials today. We had a Build a Grill commercial, and then we just had your bumper earlier, so.
Oh, the grill. We're going to have something nice for the grill coming out in April, May. So maybe we could debut it on your show next time if you guys are willing to have us back.
Oh, for sure. Anytime, you know, definitely, especially Build a Grill. He's just an awesome guest and everything, and yeah, we're excited about, you know, what Bill's got going on, too.
Oh, yeah, Bill's actually fighting next month in Strikeforce.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that, and they already got his fighter all set and stuff, so.
I'm going to be
cool, man, right on, dude. I just wanted to say hi to you guys and call in. I got my kids in the bath and they're like screaming at me already. So I gotta get running.
Hey, really quick before you run, you want to give out the website in case people want to go check out your stuff?
Yeah, check us out at www.moyabrand.com. That's MOYABRAND.com. If anybody's got any questions, you could always send us an email at info@moyabrand.com.
All right, man. Nice. Good looking out, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a good night, man.
All right. Thank
you too, Jesse. All right, later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice. What were you saying before that?
We're talking hand wraps.
Yeah. Hand wraps.
We're asking, what were you telling me before that?
I don't know, but it's 7 o'clock, man.
But before we go...
I want a chicken wrap right now.
Before we go, we want to, you know, give out our thank yous. And, you know, first of all, to you, Hector, for stopping in, you know, taking some time on Sunday.
No, dude, it's always a pleasure coming here, man, with you guys.
And a lot of good knowledge today, man. I learned some stuff.
No. Trust me. I mean, usually when there's a fight, and if I can come in, I'll come in, give a recap, give you my 2 cents on a fight.
Yeah, one of these days you'll have to bring one of your up-and-coming fighters or, you know, one of the productions you got going on.
Sure thing.
Because I like learning about boxing. It's pretty interesting. I guess that's why they call it the sweet science.
You know it.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. Some housekeeping stuff, though. We're going to be returning back.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be off for a little bit. Skid Row Studios. We want to bring you the best entertainment possible, and it looks like we have a lot of things in the works, and you know, we want to do this for you all. So we're going to be off for a little bit doing some maintenance, and we'll be back as soon as we can. And we want to bring you, you know, some more good guests and you know, some more exciting things from Skid Row.
Yeah, Jeremy's working hard and trying to get this just get this boat moving. So
I mean, if you can, you know, if you you have questions, you have ideas for the show, hit us up on our Facebook page. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll put it together, and you know, yeah, we want to hear from you.
Oh, you want to be a guest? You got something going on? Send us an email.
Let us know.
Hit us up. We'll run it by Hector, see what he thinks.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, this has been another episode of Matt Town Radio. Thanks for coming in. Until next time, let's go train.
Yep, Krail out.